I think it's a nice, simple way of looking at it. Monero is, the private, untraceable version of Bitcoin, let's say, and Xano is the private version of Ethereum, right? Is a simple way of looking at things.
We discuss this perception. That's pretty much close. I just didn't want to put it that simple because I think Monero is a very interesting project. It's way more sophisticated and way more innovative than Bitcoin. So I didn't want to compare it with Bitcoin from that perspective because the number of innovations that have been done by Monero Lab is like absolutely amazing in the privacy area. So yeah, I think it will have a pretty interesting future.
Monero Talk is sponsored by Cake Wallet, a trustless open source wallet that gives you the keys to your crypto. Invoice, donate, and trade your Monero with peace of mind, piece of cake. And by StealthyX, an instant exchange where privacy is a top concern. Go to StealthyX.io to instantly exchange between Monero and 450 plus assets without having to create an account or register and with no limits, making StealthyX a simple way to purchase Monero with crypto anonymously. Monero Talk is also made possible from contributions by viewers and listeners like you, and supporting us is easier than ever by typing in MoneroTalk.crypto in your Monero.com or Cake Wallet send address field to send us a tip.
This week on Monero Talk. In part one of this two-part episode, Douglas Tooman interviews Andrei Sabolnikov, aka Zoidberg, who worked alongside CryptoNode inventor Nicholas Van Saberhagen as the lead developer of the first implementation of the CryptoNode protocol, and who went on to create Xano, which can most simply be categorized as a privacy coin version of Ethereum. Andrei discusses the recent breakthrough enhancements Xano has implemented with its most recent hard fork, Zarcanium. They discuss many new concepts related to Monero and Xano, including the concept of confidential assets and private proof-of-stake consensus, and the bold claim that Monero will one day become proof-of-stake. Andre even mentions recent conversations with Nicholas Van Saberhagen regarding his take on proof-of-stake and Monero in general. Monero Talk starts now.
All right. Andre, how's it going, man? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So I guess a lot of big news with Xano, right? I mean, you guys just got over a major upgrade. That must feel good that you.
I don't think it's in news because we've been speaking about this for quite some time. But this finally happened. The hard fork happened. Yeah, that's happened.
How would you say it went? I know I was listening live. I participated in the spaces when it was happening with Roger Ver, and I knew there was, perhaps some unexpected bumps in the road in terms of initializing it. Right? You wanna give us your overall take on that and how things went down?
We faced it the day we did the hard fork. We faced it. Few issues. It wasn't. We could avoid this. The first problem we hit is mining pools wasn't ready for the hard fork. I mean, they supposed to be ready. They did some basic testing, but we didn't do the porting of the pool utils that use native code. So yeah, for that reason we stuck for 1 hour and a half, I think. Then we fixed this, and then we had another issue that we didn't expect at all, that with the hard fork, the transaction format was changed. So after the hard fork, the transaction is supposed to be absolutely different. And the few seconds before the hard fork, the hard fork block hit the network, someone sent transaction with the old format. And this transaction relayed over the network and stuck. and then because of this transaction, unexpected transaction, we also had issues that we did a test networks, like a lot of test networks, I think. Even the last week before we released the Zarcanum build, I restarted this testnet with like a 5 or 8 times, and we did a lot of tests with the test network, but we didn't do this particular small test and the transaction of old format coming from very few seconds before the hard fork. So yeah, that was kind of funny and stressful. And then we faced a few minor things that we didn't test. So we had a core test, like automated test that covered a lot of situations, but we didn't, of course, we couldn't cover everything. So we had few issues for different users with some specific setups. And also there was a bunch of users who didn't make update in time because we had a quite short notice. We did the hard fork in 1 month after updates, after release of the binaries and the hard fork. So it was quite short in the term of cryptocurrencies. And yeah, but the rest, everything else is pretty good. I was worried about backwards capability with API on the exchanges, because in that case we would might have a real troubles. This went smooth, and also, yeah. So the most things that we worried didn't happen. So we're good to go. Yeah, I just say that we had a quite stressful week after the hard fork because we were fixing stuff. We were doing the fixes, hot fix, another hot fix, and then we asked everyone to update, please update, and then we asked exchanges to please update once again. And then even when we saw that everything is good and we were like calm in the 2 weeks, and then we have also running the test network that was launched like 2 weeks before the hard fork in this test happened like 2 weeks before the hard fork in the mainnet. So, and then we in this testnet we hit another problem. But luckily, because we investigated this problem before, this problem has like a delayed effect. So we knew that we will hit in the main network this problem like in 2 weeks. So we had a time to make another hot fix. So we upgraded all the mobile wallets and did another exchange, another asked exchanges to update once again. So yeah, that's pretty much it. But I think that's today. I mean, this Monday was the first day, like 2 days ago, that we were like kind of calm.
All right. Well, cheers to that, man. You made it.
Yeah.
You're relaxing a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So overall, it went well in the end. There were a few bumps in the road. Nothing major. You didn't anticipate. How often do you see Xano upgrading in the future? I mean, this was a tremendous upgrade. I guess you don't anticipate upgrades being nearly as tremendous as this one as you move forward, or maybe you do. But yeah, give us some insight into that. Like, how often do you foresee upgrades like this happening on the Xano protocol?
We will have another hard fork in a few months because we, I believe we figured out how to improve consensus. That's really important thing, but I still want to few guys to review my ideas and make sure that I didn't just lost in my own thoughts. And after that, we will make another hard fork, and also this hard fork will include one little tweak for the future ecosystem building. But for now, I think it's kind of like we have a confidential tokens right now, but this it's not the goal itself. It's just a platform. Now we have to build things on top of that. So I think the team with improving Xano itself will be helping other teams to build some stuff on top of this, because having tokens itself isolated from outer world doesn't bring much value. Yeah, so we will be working on a few projects, including something that called confidential layer, It's a big, it's part of the bigger picture. This project will be, the goal of this project will be to link different chains between each other, and especially to bring liquidity into Zana or other privacy coins, for example, Fire, if they will be willing to be part of this. And we want to build some sort of ecosystem around this idea of tokenization. So it's going to be a lot of work beside Zana itself. As a core technology, we'll be doing a lot of things around it. So that's my direction as I see it now.
Okay, so there will be more upgrades coming in the not so distant future. One of the criticisms that, you know, Monero sometimes gets is that we do upgrade in Monero. I think less and less often as time has gone by. But that's one of the criticisms that's kind of, you know, they're obviously the Monero people make the argument that it's a good thing and it's necessary, especially given that privacy is a constant battle. But the argument against is often that that's an indication that the project is centralized, right? That it can be upgraded, that the community can so easily come to consensus on doing that. I'm just curious what your response to that is in general. And then how you view things from the perspective of the Zano project, and how you would, you know, talk about it from the perspective of Zano.
I think it's a good point. Even though Monero is one of the most decentralized projects, as far as I know, you have a quite big community, and you have a few generations of developers who is running the project, I think it's basically it's a good point, but on the other hand, I don't know, is there any other way to improve technology? Because I don't think Bitcoin itself is an iconic project. They can let themselves to stay without much of improvement, right? But other projects has to improve. It's just a challenge that we, especially privacy coins, we always face challenges with de-anonymization. We always face challenges with the performance, with a lot of different things. And constant improvements, it's just a must have. And I understand this point of view, but I think that those projects who do innovation, those projects who innovate, I don't know any other way to improve project and to build project without hard forking. That's my point.
I agree with you, especially with regards to like you said, privacy projects, right? Where privacy is a constant battle, constant cat and mouse game. There is that continuous need to stay ahead of the enemy, for lack of a better word.
Maybe I'm the wrong person who asked, but for me is the fact that the project doing hard fork constantly is a healthy thing. For me, not much projects are doing that much innovation in the hard forks. We have a 90% of the projects in the industry which do nothing. They literally copy commits of other projects or just doesn't even bother to do this. So for me, I'm probably not the right person to ask. I'm a developer. I'm running the project. So probably I'm...
No.
Opinion.
You are the right person to ask. We want to get your opinion from that standpoint. Before I forget, because now you have me thinking too, what is your kind of current take on Bitcoin itself, right? We've reached a new level with Bitcoin in terms of, its maturity, right? Where now it's actually fully integrated into the fiat banking system. We have ETFs for Bitcoin. It feels like we're kind of nearing the final phases. Just curious what your current take is on the project itself on Bitcoin.
I'm not really following what they do from technology perspective in Bitcoin as developers, because I mean it's not really interesting. They don't innovate much, but it's not a bad thing. Bitcoin is a very unique project, and I was actually wondering recently that Bitcoin itself, I mean, I admire the project, and the project is a symbol of crypto, and I wish Bitcoin to dominate on the market, because because I'm old school, old schooler, and for me it's means more than it is in reality. But I was thinking, why would people actually need Bitcoin these days? Because nobody pay in Bitcoin. It's that the price is very dynamic, so you cannot do actual payments for business with this. And we know the Bitcoin is idea right now. It's a store of value, right? But I feel a little bit fear of this dynamic. But I feel that the market and the industry, crypto industry, a little bit changed, and a lot of people have a very utility use for crypto these days. A lot of people use stable coins for cross-border payments, and that's kind of weaken Bitcoin itself as a tool, as a original idea of as a currency, right? Mm-hmm. So that's my controversial opinion about this. So from one perspective, I admire the project because it's iconic project. It's for me it represents the idea of crypto in the best form, in the best shape, right? But from other perspective, I'm little bit fear that practically it's useless. It's becoming useless, and what is left for Bitcoin to be like some sort of speculative tool for pumping and dumping price. So people who didn't get rich in the early days of crypto will try to jump on this train. I don't know. I fear of this. I really fear that this speculative nature of Bitcoin this day may kind of hurt it and hurt the idea of crypto itself. So, yeah, that's what my thoughts about it.
No, I tend to agree with you on that as well. And I guess in your mind, you also see that as opportunity for other projects such as Monero and Xano itself, right? Because where Bitcoin is failing, well, perhaps that's where other protocols can succeed.
Yeah, kind of. But another problem that probably right now, these days also in crypto industry, give chances not to protocols, but the company with big pockets. So even though some projects don't bring innovation, because they have a big marketing budget, they absorb most of the people. And those people who are new in crypto, they got confused with this overly marketed project. So yeah, I think it's kind of create new opportunities, but unfortunately, not for those projects that I wish would get more attention. I mean, from my perspective, innovation is the key thing in crypto. I mean, at least at this moment. Yeah.
Where do you see Monero and Xano fitting in the, you know, crypto sphere? What are your takes on those? So, you know, we talked about Bitcoin. Where do you see Monero and Xano? What roles do you see them playing in the crypto sphere?
Monero direction is very clear. I think it's very simple and clear. And that's what I felt when I met Monero community and Monero developers. They want to keep Monero pure according to their vision and have a direction to keep it pure and give it maximum privacy. And that's because of this direction is very, very articulated, very, very clear. I think that's the future of Monero. It's going to be private token focused on privacy, right? Mm-hmm. Probably Monero would face the same problem as Xano would face. Probably it will be delisted from some centralized exchanges, and we will be building together. We will be building tools that create liquidity and cross-chain tools for the cross-chain transactions, right? Mm-hmm. But that's how I see the future of Monero. Xano has a little bit different direction. We're also aiming to privacy, but we are building some sort of platform. We will see how it goes. For now, we see this idea that we can be like a very simplifying, like a super simplifying. We want to be like Ethereum in the privacy world, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll talk. But it's not that easy, of course, from technology perspective. Of course, we are not Ethereum. We cannot, at least in this phase, we cannot build technology like Ethereum with virtual machines. But that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to build the platform and make this platform useful and private. That's what I see.
I think it's a nice, simple way of looking at it. Monero is, you know, the private, untraceable version of Bitcoin, let's say, and Xano is private version of Ethereum, right? Is a simple way of looking at things.
We discussed this perception. That's pretty much close. I just didn't want to put it that simple because I think Monero is a very interesting project. It's way more sophisticated and way more innovative than Bitcoin. So I didn't want to compare it with Bitcoin from that perspective, because the number of innovations that have been done by Monero Lab is like absolutely amazing in the privacy area. So yeah, I think it will have a pretty interesting future.
Now both Xano and Monero use the crypto note protocol, which you're obviously very familiar with. Do you see a lot of changes that are going to need to happen on the protocol level itself for crypto note projects to succeed? Will like the crypto note projects of the future look quite different from what they started as? Like Bitcoin hasn't changed much, but like crypto note itself, I mean, are you seeing the need for upgrade, you know, some big
yeah.
in protocol itself?
We're all waiting for the full membership proof. We met with Luke Parker on the Prague last year, and we were like quite impressed by the theoretical work that he's done, and we wanted to be part of this research, but was crazy busy with Arcanum. I think this upgrade will be absolutely game changing for all crypto node projects.
And that's probably
looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest upgrade you can kind of imagine, right? In terms of necessary for crypto note. Give us some more thoughts on that. We see, I assume you've seen what's happening on Monero. The transaction count has gone through the roof, and it's maintained that for quite some time. There's been some dips, but it appears to be that something is going on. Somebody is adding transactions to the network, potentially a flood attack, and it's showing weakness in Monero's ring signatures. Weaknesses that were known, but it's kind of bringing it to the forefront. Curious if you have any thoughts on that, and if you've been watching that at all.
I actually didn't know about that, and. Do you know that
you've been head down in the trenches at Xano?
But you don't know the nature of these transactions, right? You just see the volume.
Yeah, I mean, there's been like analysis on them. People trying to determine if there's something significant about them. I think kind of the overall viewpoint is that it is some type of spam. You know, somebody. It's not organic transactions. It doesn't appear to be the case. But they are typical transactions. There's, there's, you know, there's nothing atypical about them. One endpoint.
But someone burn money for making this transaction. I mean, they burn fee.
Yeah. So or, they're paying the fees for the transactions. They're paying the minimal fee. They're paying the minimal fee. Monero network handling it pretty well. We saw dynamic flock size go into effect. That's been working. What we were seeing was issue with nodes, particularly, for example, like you know, companies that like Cake that run large remote nodes that people rely on. We saw some issues with that. But overall, and I think changes were already made to alleviate that problem. But overall, it's, the network has handled it pretty well. But it's led to a lot of discussion about the weaknesses of ring signatures and the fact that somebody might potentially be doing a flood attack. And obviously,
I see. Yeah, I got it.
Or
so de-anonymized. It could be true. Well, you. Yeah, I'm. Well, this is sad to hear this. I don't know, but I think the transaction fees already rise, right? Or they just use some minimal and nothing you can do with this.
Do you love coffee and Monero as much as we do? Consider making gratuitous.org your daily cup. Pay with Monero for premium fresh beans. And if you like what you taste, send a digital cash tip directly to the Guatemalan farmers that made it possible. Proceeds help us grow this channel, Gratuitous, and Monero.
Yeah, I mean, they were using whatever fee they can get away with. But, I mean, it's... Like I said, the network's been handling it. You know, it's something that we have to expect, right? I mean, people are going to can do whatever they want with Monero, right? So, yeah, nothing to feel bad about, right? I mean, it is what it is, and I think Monero is handling it quite well. And if anything, it's just maybe pushing the community forward faster towards full membership proofs. So
yeah, that's of course, a full membership proofs would solve this problem. And make it, it won't make any sense to make this attack after you will introduce full membership proof. But so far, I mean, if it's attacker, they can like put a basement for the future analysis for themselves. So they, as soon as they have it, a lot of this spam in the blockchain, they could do something about it. Is there any chance you can is there any chance you can make a difference between this organic transactions and non-organic transactions?
You mean
you cannot see?
Is there a way to determine if it?
Yeah,
I think people are trying to make that determination based on like statistical analysis, but I don't think it's, you know.
If they use if they use for example the very minimum fee, so you can in the future you can tweak decoy selection algorithm that will be avoiding those outputs which are part of this super cheap transactions, for example. That's the first thought that hit my mind. But
I mean probably
your developers know how to solve
I think that was thrown out there as a potential. Obviously, they're talking about increasing the ring size, and then there's talk of perhaps speeding up the implementation of full membership proofs and trying to get that in Monero faster than originally planned, having it being part of the Seraphis upgrade, but kind of trying to move things ahead faster. That is a discussion that's going on right now. So in terms of Zano, I mean, is that... obviously, Zano would also be looking to upgrade to full membership proofs once.
Oh yeah, of course.
Project
we're
doing it. I mean, I think Zero kind of might be first in line to get it done. It seems like. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's kind of my take on it. It looks like they might have the advantage there of being able to add it first. But I'm curious, like where would Zano look, or when would Zano look to add full membership proofs?
I honestly don't know. The last thing I knew about it was when we were in Prague in the conference, and then I know that Wall is following the chat where the cryptographer guys are chatting about this. But yeah, we were like so deep in our problems, so we didn't follow it. We know that the research is going there, and I think if they need a hand, so we can let Wall to work on this if they need more hands on that, if we can help somehow with this research, of course. Yeah, that's I told Luke this even when we were in Prague that we are would be happy to help this. Yeah, but this is I understand this work require quite a strong theoretical background, and Wall was reading a few research about that, so he need to educate himself to be useful for that. So it may take some time for him to catch up with technical points.
Of course. Well, it's exciting that we're moving in that direction, and hopefully the next Monerotopia. I know you'll be coming. You guys will be coming down, and hopefully we get Luke down there again. Because I think
definitely.
I don't know. I do feel like a lot of things do get done when people are face to face, right? Like when you guys are all hanging out together. That's exciting to hear and know. It makes the conferences that much more important.
Yeah, definitely. We are looking forward to get to Monerotopia. Last time was amazing. I was a little bit stressed before the conference because I didn't know what to expect. I wasn't close to Monero community, and yeah, it was absolutely welcoming community, and we are glad to be there, and we are happy to participate in the next event. Absolutely. Awesome.
Yeah, you guys were a big part of that. You were it was fantastic. I might as well put it out here because we haven't really talked about it in public yet. We're thinking of moving the conference from Buenos Aires back to Mexico City, where we had it last year. It was a great venue. We're just running into some issues in Buenos Aires, and we're realizing it's not the most convenient location for people. People are telling us that, and we're running into issues with the marketplace, and we don't want to, take a risk without the conference being as good as it could possibly be. So we might pivot back to Mexico. I know we had talked offline, and you said you guys are on board either way, so very excited to have
you. Yeah, of course. Yeah, definitely. Last time was amazing, and we were happy with everything. That's cool.
Fantastic. So, yeah, for those of you listening, more info coming soon on all that. We'll figure that out in the next day or so, probably by the time we air this. But very good chance we move it back to that same venue. We have the marketplace going full steam ahead. We work with the same person we worked with last year, so we're excited about that. But let's jump back to the topic at hand, Xano itself. Tell us, this was a tremendous upgrade. Tell us what some of the most important things were that happened with the big recent upgrade on Xano.
What is on the surface is confidential assets. I think it's going to be, in the future, it's going to be very useful. Right now, probably people don't see much changes. They can see the wallet that you can add assets, but they don't see much of assets circulating in Xano right now, because I mean we have some test assets. People are experimenting, they're trying, they do the funny names for the assets, but we don't whitelist yet. The whitelisting is another subject for discussion about centralization. I know it, but we want to be very careful because this assets could be point where people will be scammed. So we are we use the practice that are common in MetaMask. So they have some sort of whitelist or well-known assets, but basically we don't limit anyone. So anyone can create their own assets and share the asset ID, so everybody can use it and add it to the wallet. We just by default we don't list unknown projects, but we will list, definitely we will list known and respected projects as soon as they appear. Right now, we just have this idea of assets that and that you can create, but it will take some time to build something on top of Xana, something that makes sense, something usable. Also, something that lies under the surface is, of course, it's a privacy hidden amounts, proof of stake with hidden amounts. It's important from a privacy perspective, but it doesn't lie on the surface. Like it's some technology that harden consensus and gives user the privacy. And because of this, we can finally hide amounts. Before of that, Xana was having open amounts, and that was a kind of very weak from a privacy perspective. Of course, especially in the modern days, with most of the crypto node project was having hidden amounts. Yeah, for that's the big thing, and that's it. That's pretty much it. We have a lot of minor things that we fixed with this hard fork, but I don't know if it worth mentioning. We fixed the decoy selection algorithm twice. We fixed some well-known issues that we had before, and also right now, Pavel is working on a new mobile wallet that will be with a whole new rebranded interface with support of assets, confidential assets. Also, we're working with integration on the Cake wallet, thanks to Vic for letting us to be part of the project. And
when do we expect that to happen? When do we expect to see Xana on Cake? Do we know?
I think it's going to be pretty much soon. We because we had a like a very hard weeks, last 2 weeks, we were busy with stuff. Right now, we're running the test Cake wallet on the test network that is integrated Xana, but this still has a few issues. So we are fixing it before we do the pull request to Cake wallet repo. But we are in touch with their developers. They're supporting us. So I think it's going to be in a few weeks, it's going to be on.
Cool. That's exciting. Do you foresee a day where people are, because now you guys have added private proof, a way to do proof of stake privately, which is the first crypto to do it. I mean, my understanding is you guys invented that with Co, the
ability to get together with Co. Yeah, of course. It's we can consider it a collaboration with Monero.
Yeah, very, very. Yeah. It's exciting, definitely in that regard. And the concept itself, we had a great talk on the last Monerotopia with that debate of proof of stake versus proof of work. But just quick question to that concept. I mean, do you foresee a day where people are staking their Xano on their on their mobile phone, on their Cake wallet, on their Xano wallet? Is that something that you foresee happening?
It's possible to implement it, to stake. Theoretically, you can say we didn't enable it just to avoid because if we can make it working, there will be expectations from staking. People always, when they, for example, invested something, they expect in return, and mobile application, they can work a different way from desktop. They can sometimes can be offline, sometimes they can be sleeping. For that reason, we don't enable staking from mobile wallet, but technically it's doesn't have any problems. I mean, some people can probably quickly tweak the Android wallet and do the staking from mobile wallet even this way, but I kind of artificially disabled this yet because we don't want to have a multiple users complaining about, hey, my wallet is not staking. Because from part of the users have the perception that the staking is some sort of just like a profit motivation for people to buy coins. So as they experienced, for example, from Ethereum network, some tokens have a staking. But that staking doesn't secure a consensus. The staking just does the calculation in the contract. So people expect staking, even if they have some application on mobile, they have a staking going on in the contract. And because of this confusion, we don't want to make miscommunication, because in Zana, staking needed only for securing the history of transaction, or only for securing consensus. And the staking means active participation in the network work. So because of this, we still don't put mobile devices to be part of the staking. But again, anyone who know how to code, they can tweak the wallet and do the staking from Android. It's even possible that to run the full node in Android device if someone will be bothering to do this.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. For those, you know, who aren't familiar with the pros and cons of proof of stake versus proof of work, kind of briefly give us your take there. Like, why did you go this route with Zano and add proof of stake? Why did you then make it private proof of stake? Why is this important? What is it doing? Why not stick to proof of work?
Very easy. I was proof of work at the beginning. Originally, the first project I launched, Bitcoin itself and Monero as a same code base, it was a pure proof of work. Yeah, mm-hmm. And by this time, it's considered to be the only secure protocol, because proof of stake idea was in the air, but it wasn't. It had some issues, and then I was running Bulber. It's quite a small project, and then I faced real life challenges. I was just make quick calculation that it's obvious that an attack on a proof of work is quite cheap, and that was easy to understand for any developer who actually worked on consensus and understand how it works. And because of this, we started to look into proof of stake and bouncing different ideas how to make it. Nicholas Saberhofen helped me to come up with the first consensus proof of stake on the crypto node.
Oh,
the
really?
First version.
Really? Okay. Van Saberhagen, who
he helped
me. Creator of crypto note. For those who don't know,
wow. Ask it him.
He worked and helped on the first implementation of proof of stake in crypto.
Yeah, he helped me, I was consulting with him pretty long time. He was helping me, and because of this, because we faced the problems of double spend. It's very easy if you take any proof of work projects, and it's actually very easy to calculate the cost of attack. For example, on interview, I often ask people how much it costs to attack the project. They start to do the calculations, how much the hash power costs. It doesn't even matter. You just need to take a block reward and multiply it for confirmation number, and that's the cost of that's the price of cost attack on any proof of work project. And for that reason, we started to research this subject and decided that that we have some idea. We tried this, we did research, and then we come up with a consensus that we had originally. And then we launched it down, and then some guy came to our community and showed us a weakness that we fixed it with a hard fork. But then it was running pretty smooth. And the problem that with the consensus as it was originally, you cannot make privacy. You could do some trade-offs between the privacy and hidden amounts if you make that just a part of that. But it's half measures. It's not going to work from technology perspective. And then we was working on a new consensus for a few years. We started to work with one researcher. It didn't work well. Then we started to work with Val. He switched from like a pure coding into the research and math stuff, especially because he has a math degree from university. So he had a background that fitted. And then we came up with this Zarkanon thing, which is pretty good right now. And we also We also have ideas that I was saying in the beginning, how to harden this consensus, because right now, whoever has a big proof of work hash rate can leverage his proof of stake part with this proof of work part. And with this, it's still a quite expensive attack, but it's possible. So we want to fix it. We wanted to fix it for a quite long time. But now I think I have some idea how to do it. And hopefully after some review, we'll publish some paper that describes this idea. And with the next hard fork, it's going to be even stronger. It's still going to be proof of work and proof of stake hybrid, because we cannot, right now, we cannot get rid from proof of work for a few reasons, especially long range attacks and few other things. But it's going to be way, way stronger. And if we have a chance to have another debate in Monerotopia this year in Mexico or wherever it's going to be, I will be happy to be part of this discussion. But not from perspective as I'm trying to sell Zana as a great, as a proof of stake technology, but as a solution for Monero to bring it on the table for Monero community and developers to consider it and destroy the myths about proof of stake being centralized, proof of stake being insecure, and stuff like that. So if we have this,
for some great discussion. I think you had said at the last conference that you predict one day Monero will be proof of stake.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure about this. But not that I'm trying to prove that I was right. It's just I will be happy the day Monero will switch to proof of stake. It's gonna be more secure consensus, because if Monero would be attacked with double spend attack, that would be really sad. I mean, that would be really sad. And I think because I was speaking with a few people in Monero at the Monerotopia, I think there is an understanding between technical community. They understand the cost of attack on the proof of work. They see the problem, and then. If they see the problem, it's easier to come to solution. And if Monero ever decide to go this way, we'll be happy to help if they need a hand with this.
You don't see any value in proof of work itself, separate from proof of stake, like, you know, that has different benefits, especially for like a chain like Monero that's been proof of work for already almost, you know, 10 years.
I see, for me, it doesn't matter actually proof of work or proof of stake from, I don't have a, how to say it, I'm not married to any of this. It's just, for me, consensus is just an algorithm that is needed to secure the history. Whatever secure the history of transaction better is better. Doesn't matter. For me, it wasn't even, the psychological reasons wasn't even for me the first one and the second one. It was like somewhere at the end. For me, the biggest problem is that consensus is solving the problem of ceiling of transaction history. So whatever works best is best for me. And I look at this only from this perspective, and I don't have any other opinion about proof of work or proof of stake except this one.
But like you said, even for now, you guys are still proof of work to avoid long range attacks. But you foresee a solution being there at some point in the future where you could solve that with proof of stake.
If we solve this, we will get rid of proof of work as soon as we can. Because I can explain this. Actually, we had this conversation so many times. Or I can spare it for the. Panel, if we have this panel on next Monerotopia, but okay. Yeah, basically, yeah, we can speak about this. I have a lot of
give us a little bit on it.
When someone invests in a proof of work, they are not attached to your project. They can they can do, for example, if they have a video card, or in case of Monero, they have a CPU, they can do the mining for any project they, and they don't care about this. They normally, how mining business is working is, except like a few people who are attached to the project, but it's not majority, it's just very few people. But the mining business works very simple way. They rent the hardware. It's a business. They rent the hardware to get the revenue. They rent this hardware for multiple. Yeah, they doesn't even care about coins. They don't see the coins that they actually mine. They rent this to the multi-currency pool. This pool actually do the mining on the most profitable coins, and they don't have any attachment to the project. They don't care. Whoever gives more money, I mean, in terms of the cost of the coins, that project will get the hash power, right? So they are not attached. It's easy, way more easy to manipulate with them. Also, the mining hardware is it's always related to electricity and the physical devices. They are physically on the land, and the biggest supplier of electricity in the land is the government. So it's easier to control with the hash power. The big players like governments, they are easier to manipulate and control with the physical stuff. But while in a proof of stake, you don't see actual users. So you have it's like a system that like looped in, like catched inside itself. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to get influence on this system without heavy investment, right? So this for me it's a more practical observing from my experience being like running projects for a few years.
Yeah, and
if tomorrow will be some new way to secure a consensus, for example, with a quantum computer or with some other idea that will be securing the history of transactions without involving proof of stake or proof of work, I will be up for this. I will be first on the line to implement this.
Yeah, no, I get it. You just want the best thing that works. Whenever you say Nicholas Van Saberhagen, my eyes light up. Obviously, I love, you know, the fact that you communicate with this guy, whoever he may be, whether he's your alternate personality, I do not know. But
a real guy?
No, okay, that's amazing. Like we said, maybe there's some way we could get him to participate remotely at Monerotopia or something, or to answer questions. I don't know. But what does he think of proof of work versus proof of stake? Obviously, you said he was helping you out with this, so I guess he sees it as being a potential, you know, positive development in the technology.
I think we never actually spoken about if he see it, how he see it, because as engineers, we don't tend to have opinions about things. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. For us, it's just a calculation of cost of attack. For me, it doesn't even make sense to speak about the things. Are you proof of work or proof of stake? Because it doesn't make sense. The only thing that makes sense, what type of proof of stake you have, what type of hybrid you have, because it explains what the cost of attack. So we never had this conversation from this like a philosophical perspective. We always had the conversation, hey, what if we're doing this? How much it costs to attack from this angle or from this angle? So I think for him, it's like for every engineer or researcher, it's like a matter of cost of attack. Doesn't matter how you make it.
Stay tuned for part two of Douglas Tooman's interview with Andrey Savelnikov, aka Zoidberg. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode. We release new episodes every week. You can find and subscribe to our show on YouTube, Odyssey, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Go to MoneroTalk.live to subscribe for a full list of places where you can watch and listen. If you want to interact with us, guests, or other podcast listeners, you can follow us on Twitter. And please leave us a review on iTunes. It helps people find the show, and we are always happy to read them. So thanks so much, and we look forward to being back next week.